didn't know if she was waiting for me to sing a special or what. I'm not going to sing. Y'all know that. Yeah, Brother Marcus is working with the choir on that hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, right, Brother Marcus? Oh, I love that song. And hopefully we'll sing it soon. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 23. And we'll go through verse 28 this morning. We'll be talking about Lord of the Sabbath. In the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 2, we have about five instances where Jesus confronts the legalist Pharisees. And we've been covering these all the way in chapter 2. And we come to the last two this morning and one tonight about the legalistic Pharisees and how Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. I want to ask you a question, first of all, and you don't have to define this right now, but what is legalism? Who is a legalist? What is legalism? Well, legalism is best defined as adding to the Bible man-made rules and regulations, a condition for salvation or spirituality, or even fellowship. There are people that will not fellowship with people because they don't go by their own man-made rules and regulations. So a legalist is someone who does that. And we saw that in chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 23 and look at the fourth confrontation Jesus had. Tonight we'll look at the fifth one in verses 1 through 6 of chapter 3. Do you realize that the law itself was okay? Jesus intended for it to point people to Jesus, realizing they can't fulfill the law in the flesh. That was his purpose, but the scribes and Pharisees had added so many rules and regulations to the law and made it really a burden to people. In fact, someone said that the Pharisees had developed a system of 613 laws, 365 negative commands, and 248 positive commands. And by the time Christ came, it produced a heartless, cold, arrogant brand of righteousness. So we see in our section here today that Jesus confronts them about their man-made rules and regulations. And they had added to the oral, by their oral traditions, to the biblical Sabbath. And so we're going to look at the first instance today when the legalist Pharisees kind of questioned the disciples of Jesus for plucking corn or grain or wheat, barley, whatever the Greek means, on the Sabbath day. And so tonight we'll look at Jesus heals a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. And so they had an intense anger at our Lord, in fact, began to plot to kill him because of that. Now, as we read through our text, I want you to note how Jesus handles a Pharisee. I want you to know how Jesus handles a legalist. I thought today maybe I'd give you some examples, but then I said, no, I'm going to give you some questions to ask at the end that help you determine, is this tradition or this rule that I've set up, is that in the Bible? And do I expect other people to go by it? Okay. Let's look, first of all, at the accusation of the Pharisees, then we'll look at the answer. So let's begin reading. Let's stand in honor of God's word, and we'll begin in verse 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. Now in the Greek, that could be wheat, barley, grain, whatever. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you not never read? Now that's an indictment to a Pharisee. They prided themselves in knowing the Bible. Jesus over and over many times told them, Have you not read what David did and what when he had need and he was hungry, that they were with them that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, 12 loaves of bread that was for the priest only, which is not lawful to eat, but for priests. And he gave also to them which were with him. Verse 27, and he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Father, I pray today as we look at this text, Lord, the legalists are still with us, and we from time to time can be legalistic in our own rules and regulations, Lord, and expect people to go by them. But Lord, I pray you speak to us today through your word, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's be seated. Note, first of all, the accusation of the Pharisees in verses 23 and 24. The Pharisees accused Jesus and his disciples of violating the rabbinic law. You know, I wondered as I was looking at this text this week, how they said they followed him to the cornfields. I guess they forgot that the Sabbath rule was that they could not travel more than 3,000 feet from their house. And yet they were traveling with Jesus to the cornfields, and they were watching and observing him, trying to catch him in something. The disciples did not violate the Sabbath law here. This is plain here. But what they did violate was the oral traditions of the Pharisees that they had added to the Torah. We know that the Sabbath was instituted in Genesis chapter 2. It was a day of rest, of creation rest, commemorating the creation act of six 24-hour days of creation. It was for Israel, the nation of Israel. And then in Exodus chapter 20, he says you're not to do any work on that day. But feeding the hungry and being hungry on the Sabbath and going through and you have need of food, the Bible says, was not breaking the Sabbath, because they forgot Deuteronomy 23:25. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, when thou mayest pluck the ears with thy hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto the neighbor's standing of corn. And they weren't doing that. They were plucking the ears of the corn with their hands, which was not work. They had added that, and they had elevated themselves to the authority over the Sabbath day rules and regulations. The Pharisees here wanted to protect their petty rules and their regulations with their hypocritical external religion. You know what a legalist does? They set up rules and regulations so that they can think that they're spiritual. And then they pass them on to other people and said, you can't be spiritual unless you go by these same rules and regulations that we do. In fact, in Matthew chapter 15 is a great example with Jesus with the scribes. He said, he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But see, what they were doing was taking the money that they needed to support their mother and father and help them, and they were saying, I'm giving it to God, I'm giving it to the temple. And then verse 5, Jesus said this, but you say, whatsoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift. By whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. By the way, a side note here, the Bible tells us to honor our mother and father. That's just not while we're at home. That's even after we leave home. We still honor our mother and father, right? And God will bless those that do that. So we see the accusation of the Pharisees, so the die is cast. So Jesus gives an answer to them in verse 25 and 28. How does Jesus respond to a legalist, to a Pharisee? And they're all around us. I can name you whole denominations that are Pharisaical. I can name you preachers, and I can name you people that are set up or legalist and set up rules and regulations. I talk to them all the time, and I'll tell you how to handle that in just a moment. How did Jesus answer that? Well, look in verse 25 and 26. He pointed them to the scriptures, and again he quotes here 1 Samuel chapter 21 verses 1 through 6, when David ate the showbread in the temple. And he gives them the scriptures here. Jesus exposed their ignorance of the Old Testament with their ignorance of the true meaning of what is in Deuteronomy that I quoted to you a while ago. Showing compassion is always above ritual and ceremony, right? Never think that you, what I'm going to say, and I've known people before, they'll pass by somebody in need on the way to church because they're supposed to come to church. But if you see your brother or sister in a wreck, or something that needs immediate attention, you know, you're not to be a legalist. You're to stop and help them. Kindness and mercy always comes above your own man-made rules and regulations. Can I get an amen there? Amen. Showing compassion was above the ritual and ceremony. God never intended that their ceremony and their ritual tradition stand in the way of mercy and kindness and goodness toward others in need. And I could stop right here and give you example after example, but I depend upon you to look for these and find them for yourself. So he pointed them to the scriptures. That's what we do, folks. You know, point them to the scriptures. Stay on target. It's the word of God. God has gave us the greatest weapon we need. Use it, right? Don't point them to logic or reasoning. Point them to the scriptures. What does the scripture say? I often do this with people. They'll come up with something, man, off the wall to me, and I'll say, it's in the Bible. I know it is. Well, do you really know it? Give me the book, chapter, and verse. Well, that'll get them every time. Well, I know it's in there. I know it's in there. And they get argumentative at that time. Listen, find it in the Scriptures. That's our guide. Point them to the Scriptures, right? Stay on target. The lost will argue with you about a lot of things, but you got to stay on target with the gospel, because that's the greatest need. They're on the way to hell without Christ, right? And so we need to point them to the Scriptures. But Jesus did a second thing here in verse 27 and 8. He pointed them to the sovereign. Notice verse 27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And these two shocking statements here really angered them up. And tonight we'll see, when he healed the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath, boy, they began to plot his demise. They were angry. See, that's the way people are. They don't have an argument from the Scriptures. They'll just try to attack you personally, right? That's what we see politicians do. They know they're wrong, but they'll try to attack their opposition and tear down their character, and even throw things against the wall, hoping it sticks. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about, all right? I said, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And they'll throw it against the wall and hope it sticks. We can call it fake news, right? Two shocking statements, verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. See, the purpose of Sabbath was to give the people of God a day of rest. It's for the nation of Israel. But the Pharisees had added to the Sabbath that made it a day of burden. There was no way the people could not only keep the laws about the Sabbath that God gave them, but much less couldn't keep the 613 that the Pharisees had added to the Torah. So it was a day of burden. See, the Lord's day is never to be a day of burden. We come here because we love Him. We come here out of obedience. We come here because we want to serve Him. We come here because we want to hear the Word of God preached or taught. We come here because we want to sing with the body of Christ. If coming to church is a burden to you, then either that church has laid too many rules on you, or either you need to get saved, right? It's not a burden coming to the Lord's house. In reality, the Pharisees were the real violators of the Sabbath. And then notice the verse 28, the second statement. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Boy, that got to them. They knew what he meant by that. He was claiming to be God. He was claiming to be creator. He was claiming to be the sovereign one over the Sabbath. Jesus says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. He was claiming to be God, creator. He was the Messiah. He claimed that. That's what got him so angry. And then from this point on, they sought to kill him. Look in chapter 3, verse 6. We'll get ahead of ourselves. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against them. You know, when people want to do somebody harm, it's amazing who they'll get as bedfellows to help them. And we'll talk more about that tonight, how they might destroy him. So from this point on, they sought to kill him. Their hostility and hatred with him was not satisfied till they saw him crucified. But what they didn't know, it was in God's predetermined plan to send his Son to the cross to die for the sins of the world. As I close this morning, I want to make some closing comments here. The legalist and the legalism is still with us today. Rules and regulations that we set up, what you can do, what you can't do. You know, I've heard the gamut of it. I'm not going to mention any of them. I've been guilty of some myself. But what do we do? Rather than point these out and try to show you that these are errors, I want to give you three questions that you need to ask about anything that you set up in your life is a rule or a tradition you need to go by. Now, let me say this. I love traditions. I love having homecoming and the church anniversary on the second Sunday of July, right? We'll be celebrating our 50th anniversary this coming July. And by the way, I'm going to be asking you to get a committee of three together that'll be planning something special for the 50th anniversary of this church, okay? So you be thinking about, I'm going to volunteer, and I'm going to help. I'm going to help our church do something special for our anniversary. So I'm not going to give you any examples here. I could, but what are they? When you run across someone that has a rule that you know that's not in the Bible, or you set up your own rule, and you want to measure your spirituality by it because you do this and you don't do that. First one is this rule a principle or a preference. Is this a principle that I can find in the Bible, right? Or is this my preference, right? Is this my preference? You never want to make a preference, a principle for someone else, right? I have a lot of preferences. They may not be principles, but I don't want to set those preferences up that people, other people in the church have to go by them if they're going to be spiritual. Y'all get my drift? Is this in the Bible? And if it's not, it's just a preference. And you can't force that preference on anybody else, right? I hate to say this. Well, I'm not going to say it. I better not, because I said I wasn't going to give no examples. Is this a principle or is this a preference? Number two, have I set up this rule to make me appear more holy than others? Have I set up this rule to make me appear more holy than others? You remember the scribes and Pharisees when they pray and give their alms and the Sermon on the Mount, they would do it out in the marketplace loudly and openly before people. They wanted to appear to be spiritual, right? And Jesus says, you have your reward, the praise of men, right? See, a lot of people are loudly and doing their things, and they're thinking they're going to get the praise of this world, and they're missing out on the blessing of God, right? So is your rule set up to make you appear more holy than others? And then number three, is this rule designed to bring people to Jesus or to keep them away? See, the Pharisees were so legalist that they didn't even take the news to the downright sinners and the publicans and the tax collectors, did they? It was them and nobody else, right? And there are many churches today, and there are many people today who call themselves Christians who have basically set up a wall around them by their own rules and regulations to keep people from coming to Jesus rather than bringing people to Jesus, okay? Right? And I can name some here. I'm tempted to do it right now, but I said, well, no, I'm going to give you the questions and you'll find out what they are. Okay? Is this rule designed to bring people to Jesus or keep them away? And by the way, there are several mistakes we make with the Sabbath. Let me go ahead and get this out of my crawl. I got a handout back there that tells you the difference between the Sabbath and the Lord's Day, and who the Sabbath was for and who the Lord's Day was for. The Sabbath was for Israel as a perpetual sign of creation rest. Okay? Number two, remember the Ten Commandment that says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? Do you know that that's the only one of the Ten Commandments that's not repeated in the New Testament? Why? Because the Sabbath is for Israel. It's not for the church. We are told to meet on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. He rose on the first day of the week, Sunday. All the resurrection appearances were on Sunday. There's no rebuke in the Bible. All this is in the handout back there. For the early church meeting on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. The church worships on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. Why? Because Christ is our Sabbath. He fulfilled the law. And he is our Sabbath. And in him, there is a new creation. And that's called the church. And so that's why we do it. So I don't want to ever hear anybody here referring to the Lord's Day as the Sabbath, because it's not. And I'll correct you. Book, chapter, and verse. Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath either. There is one Bible teacher that I respect and listen to, and he calls Sunday the Christian Sabbath. No, it is not the Christian Sabbath. The Sabbath was for Israel. Get the handout, right? The Lord's Day is for the church, and explains all that. Now tonight we're going to look at another incident, the healing of the man with the withered hand. And these self-righteous Pharisees, do you realize that Jesus, with the actual tax collectors and sinners, Jesus was compassionate and he ate with them and he was trying to lead them to himself. But with the Pharisaical scribes and Pharisees, he really went after them. John MacArthur had a book a few years back called The Jesus You Never Knew. It was the God of anger. It was the Jesus of anger. He didn't put up with hypocrisy. That's the one thing he went after. And that's why he went after these scribes and Pharisees. Because they healed, they were ready to kill him because he healed a man on the Sabbath day. All heads bowed, all eyes closed as our musicians come this morning and assume their proper place. Jesus came to make a new creation. That's called the church. That's called the believer. All those that repent of their sins and place their faith in Jesus Christ are part of that new creation. He has kept the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He kept the law. And because he did that, he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And he fulfilled it. And it's as if when we exercise faith in him, we have met all those Old Testament requirements. Because of the one who brought us, the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law. And it's in him. So we just come by repentance, understanding that we're sinners, believing totally in him and his work on the cross, depending totally on the atonement of the cross, and not in our good works, not in our human merit, but totally on what he did for us on the cross. And by the way, after you get saved, that's what you still do. We work because we're saved. It's not a salvation that we work for. It's not a salvation plus works. It's a salvation that works. And James says that works demonstrate that our salvation is real. Never get those out of place there. So this is the Sabbath. This is the Lord's day. This is not the Sabbath. We don't have to do the shadows anymore. The substance has come, Galatians says. He fulfilled the law for us, folks. Listen to me. All you've got to do this morning is realize you're a sinner. Place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and trust him as Lord and Savior of your life. And then worship and serve him. Come to a church where you can go through believer's baptism and identify with him, where you can grow as a Christian and come under sound doctrine. That's what it's all about. It's not about keeping rules and regulations that we have made up for ourselves. And I understand that there's rules and regulations in the church as far as policy goes and parliamentary procedures and bylaws. I understand all that. But I'm talking about how you get saved and what determines whether you're spiritual or not. That's what we're talking about this morning. So if you're here today without Christ and God has spoken to your heart, we invite you to come. Just come forward and say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to identify with Christ now publicly before men, that he may not be ashamed of me when I stand before him in judgment. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Will you come? Father, I pray you do your work, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.